Good morning, all.
Good morning.
There's been a request that we go a little bit slower because these Mishnayos in particular are a little complicated. So whenever I guess I feel like the Mishnah is a little complicated, we'll do one a day instead of our average two a day. So today will be one of those days. It's not so complicated, but again, continuing in this conversation of the use of the Machzos Shekel funds, things could get a little bit back and forthy, as you might say. So we'll go a little bit slow. So we're up to Perek Dalet Mishnah Tes. So when it came to other things like the oils and the wines and flour and things like that, so they would obviously use the Machzos HaShekel money again to pay for these things as long as they were for communal sacrifices, right? That was the general rule. Anything that was a communal sacrifice, the Machzos HaShekel funds were used for. So says the Mishnah, so there are two possibilities. When it came to buying these things, there were short-term contracts and long-term contracts. So you'll see that there are pluses and minuses to having a short-term contract and to having a long-term contract. And at the end of the day, the Beis HaMikdash funds would always end up on top. If, for whatever reason, the set price that was agreed upon was above market value, then you would pay the correct price. And if it was below, then you would pay the below market value. So let's see what the Mishnah has to say. Again, Perek Dalet Mishnah Tes. Achas l'shloshim yom mesharen esad lishka. There was one possibility that they would enter into these short-term contracts, that once every 30 days, the people in the Beis HaMikdash would sort of set the price for buying the wines, the flowers, and the oils. And they would do this using the lishka, using the temple funds. And the Mishnah doesn't say this, but sort of the implicit understanding is that whether the price was ended up being below or above the price you agreed upon, you always pay, the Beis HaMikdash always paid the lower price. But says the Mishnah, there were also long-term agreements that happened. Kol makabel alav l'sapek slasos me'arba. Let's say if the seller accepted upon himself that what at the beginning of the year, the beginning of the harvest for the entire year, they would supply the Beis HaMikdash with a what we call, you know, like a fine flour, and they would do it at the rate of they would have four seah for one seller, right? So that's four seah flour for one seller, which we know we said already is one full shekel that we call a seah. So amdu mishaloshi sapik miarba. Let's say the price of flour went up, and now for three seah of flour, you could charge one seller instead of four seah. So in that situation, this guy still has to supply the Beis HaMikdash with the lower price with the four seah for the seller, and not the new higher price. But let's say mishalosh v'amdu me'arba yisapek me'arba. Let's say if when they originally agreed upon the price, the going rate for flour was you sell for three seah for flour, but then the price went down a little bit, so now you can get four seah of flour for a shekel. So nonetheless, in that case as well, the Beis HaMikdash ends up on top, and you have to give the Beis HaMikdash the new lower price, which is for the four seah of flour for one seller. Sheyat ha-hektish al-heliyuna, because the Beis HaMikdash hand always winds up on top. He always gets the upper hand in all the contract dealings over here. And this is true even if the produce that you provide the Beis HaMikdash, even if it's gone bad, vim hitzliya solas hitzliya lo. Let's say you have fine flour that you gave to the Beis HaMikdash, it's in the possession even of the hands of the Beis HaMikdash, but it becomes filled with worms. So this new wormy flour is the responsibility of the seller, and any loss incurred is the seller's loss and not the Beis HaMikdash's loss. Then hechmitz yayin hechmitz lo. And if the wine of that was given to the Beis HaMikdash turns sour, then this new sour wine is the responsibility of the seller. Again, the Beis HaMikdash does not incur a loss. Ve'inu mekabel es mo'osav ad sheham esbeach maratzeh. The reason for all this is because at the end of the day, the seller who sold all these things to the Beis HaMikdash does not receive his full payment of money until all the offerings were brought on to onto the Mizbeach, and they were accepted. Only in that situation was the money truly received by the seller, the full payment, and therefore, because of that, as long as the items did not go as long as the items were not brought on the Mizbeach, then the Beis HaMikdash has not fully attained ownership of it, and therefore the person who sold it in all these situations will always be on the bottom, and therefore that's why he incurs the loss in all these situations. So that brings us to the end of Mishnah Tes and Perek Dalet, and God willing, tomorrow we'll continue with Perek Hei, but for now we will stop right here.